Hebrews 3. Look, if you would, at verse 7. We'll read down to the end of the passage. You can stay seated. It says, Hebrews 3 and verse 7, it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. While this call today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" Look at verse 19, the last verse. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Because of unbelief. The title of the lesson is Bridging the Gap. Bridging the Gap. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. And Lord, would you apply your truth to our hearts in a practical way today in our understanding. And Lord, I pray that you take control of this message, the next message especially to follow. I pray many would trust Christ as Savior. Lord, would you have your hand in everything that is done today. Fill me with your Spirit, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd get on Interstate 75 and you headed up through perhaps even Ohio on up into Michigan, the main state of Michigan, and you come to the top of the main state of Michigan, you'll come to the Strait of Mackinac. And to your right is Lake Huron, I believe, and to the left is Lake Michigan. You'll see that icy, cold, blue water. And then off in the distance, you'll see, way off in the horizon, you'll see the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the UP, as they call it, the Upper Peninsula. And as you see the Upper Peninsula, you cannot help but notice, spanning the 5-mile gap is the Mackinac Bridge. Built in the 1950s, engineers said that it was impossible to build. They would never be able to get it done. Several actually died in the construction of the bridge. This bridge is absolutely phenomenal. The total length of the wire, just in the main cables, not in all the cables, but in the main cables, is 42 miles long. The total weight is over 1 million tons. As you go across there, you'll see there's two towers suspending this 5-mile bridge. From the water level, when you see these towers, from the water, from the top of the water up, they're 552 feet. From the water level down to the bedrock, they're 300 feet. Now get this, when I did the research, they don't know how far down those towers go into the rock. That did not comfort my heart. I'd really like to know if they would know more specifically, but they didn't know how far, but at least 852 feet from the bedrock all the way up. It's incredible. When you're going across at the highest level, you're 200 feet above the water. And sometimes there's no concrete, but it's metal grating. You can see down through. And I remember the very first time I was driving across there in a little bitty 1994 Ford Escort. It's as light as this water bottle, you know, and I was getting blown everywhere, you know. We've gone across with our truck and our trailer, all of our earthly possessions, and we had to have an escort because they had to slow us down to 15 miles an hour or below because the winds were so strong. They've literally had cars blown off that bridge. That's incredible, isn't it? But as you can imagine with me, let's say we're standing there at the shore and we're looking off into the distance and we say, you know, we need to get across. Obviously, to get across, we need to take the bridge. The bridge definitely spans that gap and makes it possible to get to the other side. Would you, if you'd imagine, here is Israel. They're at the place called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea means the place of the decision. What is the decision that they need to make? The decision they need to make is this. Will they trust God and His word and go in and take the land of promise? As they're standing there, they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to trust God with this decision. I believe the land of promise in this land of Canaan isn't representing heaven. I believe it's representing for us the Spirit-filled Christian life, the victorious Christian life. And as we, if we could spiritually see us perhaps standing on the shore saying, you know, my Christian life can be a struggle sometimes, and getting victory over sin can be so hard, and I'm not seeing people saved like they ought to, and I'm not seeing prayers answered, and blessings aren't just flowing all the time. And we're standing on this shore, but we see off in the distance the land of revival, the land of blessing, that place where we have spirit filling, that place where we have all the joys and the answers to our prayers, prayer requests. That's the revived Christian life over there. And what spans the gap? It's the bridge of God's word. We must take the step of faith to go across the bridge of God's word to get to the spirit-filled, victorious Christian life, the revived life that God intended. What bridges the gap? It's the step of faith upon the bridge of God's word and His promises. What held back Israel from going to the land of promise? They could not enter in because, what was the last word? Because of unbelief. What will hinder us? It's a matter of unbelief. Would you allow God to simply allow Him to work in our hearts today to see how unbelief can hinder us from going in? Let's notice two main truths today. Learn from the example of Israel and then see this, that the lack of faith hinders God. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says this, take heed. Okay, if it says that, it means this. Okay, look up. Have you ever heard a preacher and he's preaching and he goes, okay, if you're going to get anything out of the message, get this. And the whole time you've been daydreaming. And finally you perk up and say, okay, I'm going to get this one. All right. Okay, here it is. It's like, take heed. You want to get it? All right, look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I underline that phrase, an evil heart of unbelief. Notice it's an evil heart. Here's the example of Israel. They had unbelief. It's an evil heart of unbelief. Evil. You know what? The lack of faith is sin. Romans 14, verse 23, I know we're not going to be able to see it in context, but it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11, you can even look at that briefly. You can even skip there if you want. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 talks about Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch pleased God. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, but without faith, it is, what's the next word? Impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if we're not believing God, I'm talking to us as Christians. If we're not trusting him and believing him for the next step spiritually, we're not going to be experiencing the revival that we need. We're not going to be going in and advancing in our Christian life. And we need to recognize this. You know, sometimes we come up, people come up to me and say, you know what, that was such a blessing. I just haven't been believing God, and wow, that was such a blessing. And they don't realize that it is sin. Mark 16, 14, Jesus entered into the upper room where the disciples were. Were they full of faith? No. They were hiding because they were scared. And they weren't believing that Jesus had risen from the dead. And it says he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Upbraid means this. It means to rebuke. It doesn't have that general idea. But it literally, the definition is interesting. It means to cast into the teeth. So, well, we normally don't say that. What's that mean? To cast into the teeth? He upbraided them with their unbelief. That means this. He threw it, can we say it in our vernacular? Back in their face. Threw it back in their face. So he didn't upbraid them for their unbelief, but the Bible says in Mark 16:14, he upbraided them with their unbelief. So imagine if Jesus were to come here this morning and he said, okay, all week long we've been learning about the Spirit-filled life and about the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us and channeling through us and about having him lead us and empower us to be able to be the soul winners that we need to be because we can't be him on our own. And God's working our heart and you go, yeah, I don't know about me. I'm not for sure about that. And we're hesitant and we're disobedient. And the Lord Jesus comes, and row by row, person by person, he begins to upbraid us with our unbelief. For instance, perhaps he'd say, you believe that you can be saved, but others can't be saved in today's time? Wham! He throws it back in our face. You believe that God can answer other people's prayers, but you can't just go to God yourself and seek him and him answer your prayer? Wham! You believe that God can forgive you of all your sins, but you can't get victory over the strongholds, the bad habits, and a besetting sin? Wham! You know what he's doing? He's rebuking, he's upbraiding, he's throwing it back in our face. See your very unbelief and recognize it is sin. It's an evil heart of unbelief. But notice, not only is it evil, it's an evil heart of unbelief. It's inside. So many times we can't see it, and it's so subtle, but it'll come out in our actions. I can see from the way I even live, I didn't do that because I didn't believe God. I didn't do this, but it's an evil heart. It's on the inside. But what is unbelief? Unbelief is simply not taking God at his word. Now, if I had a basic statement this morning. If I said, hey, you know what? Let's say I don't have a water bottle and I'm thirsty and there's a water fountain out here. I say, folks, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to dismiss myself right in the middle of teaching Sunday school to go get a drink of water. I'm going to go to get a drink of water, but I will come right back. Well, that would be kind of awkward. But I said, I'm going to go get a drink of water, but I will come right back. So I walked down the aisle, you know, I'm heading to the water fountain. You can hear me because the microphone's still on, you know. And then I walk back through the doors, I come up here, and then I resume teaching. Would anyone go, oh, wow, Brother Miller came back just like he said. He didn't lie to us. Now, if you do that, I'd be offended, wouldn't I? Well, what? I just said I was going to come right back. Don't you believe me? Now, if I would be offended in a simple thing like that, the God of the universe that spoke and everything came into existence, how do you think that offends him? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's see what faith is. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. This is so important because we're seeing the connection of faith and what God wants to continue to do in our lives. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What's the next word? The what? The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Look, you weren't there when God created the world. No one was. There's no eyewitnesses. There's no one that can say, I saw that happen. You know what this is? Dear believer, you took a step of faith saying, I believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You believe that, don't you? There's a creator. He created the world by speaking. Sure. Okay, if this all-powerful creator could speak and create all of this, that whenever he speaks, every single word is true. Every single promise is trustworthy. And not one time will he ever not keep his promise. Folks, would we believe him? Faith is the evidence. It's the substance. It's under here, under the floor is a subfloor. That's what we stand on. This is the foundation on which I can stand. It's the substance. Then it's the evidence. You say, well, faith, I can't see it. This is spiritual evidence. The spiritual evidence is not by sight. It's by faith and hearing God's word. How does faith come? How does our faith increase? How do we grow in our faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's the word of God. You want to grow your faith? Get into God's word. D.L. Moody said, God increased my faith. God increased my faith. He kept praying and kept praying, and God wasn't increasing in faith, his faith. So why isn't my faith growing? I can't believe this. I don't understand. Why is my faith not growing? And then he came to Romans and said, oh, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he started to saturate himself with God's word and his promises. And he said his faith exploded. Look, folks, go to God's word. It gives you the evidence that you need spiritually to take the step of faith. So let's learn from the example of Israel. What was their example? An evil heart of unbelief. But let's see what the result of their faith was. What happened? Don't let your unbelief, like them, hinder God. Look back in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And I'll take a drink of water out of the water bottle so I don't have to leave the room. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Look, if you would. Let's go ahead and look at verse 16 on down. It says this, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? To whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Notice this, three things that they hindered because of their unbelief. Number one, this is incredible, they hindered Almighty God. Let me ask this, think about this, and then I'll have you answer it out loud. Was it God's will, yes or no, was it God's will for the children of Israel to go into the land of promise? Yes. He commanded them. He provided. He gave them provision. He gave them a promise. My angels will go with you. I will fight for you. Was it God's will? And all God's people said, yes. Did they go in? No. You know, did you notice in the Lord's Prayer it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How was God's will done in heaven? Perfectly, without any resistance, no opposition, no enemy to stop it, no world, no sinfulness to hinder it. God's will, this is incredible, he is a sovereign, all-powerful God, but we can hinder God's will for our life and miss what God has planned for us. Little bit of you, and little bitty me can stop God from what he wants to do. In Matthew 13:58, it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He went to a village, and Jesus was going to do miracles. But he didn't do the miracles because they weren't believing. Look, what is God wanting to do in our hearts and our lives? To the full extent, I don't know, but generally, I know he wants to get us to the place where we're revived, we're dealing with self and sin, we're not dependent upon the flesh, we are that channel of the Holy Spirit, and now we see his power working through us. We are right with him, and then we can be able to see many and even multitudes trust Jesus Christ as Savior. God wants to do so much, but are we hindering God? Because of our lack of faith, we believe him for a little, but we don't believe him for a lot. I started to see this connection between this reviving of what God wants to do in the church and our lives personally and this matter of faith. God wants to do this, help us to make this decision of faith so we can have revival. Faith for revival personally, faith for revival corporately. It changed my life so much and our ministry so much, we changed the name of our ministry. Instead of it just being Chris Miller Ministries, which is pretty boring, we changed it to Faith for Revival Ministries. Because I believe with all my heart, faith accesses what God wants us to experience. I can't experience reviving or the Spirit's blessing or His flowing without the matter of trusting Him. Are you hindering God? Are you experiencing the reviving that God wants to do in your life? They hindered God, but not only that, they hindered themselves. 40 years, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. Isn't that descriptive? 40 years they wandered around. Where are we going? Oh, I don't know. Just wandering around in the wilderness. You know how long it would have taken them to go from Kadesh Barnea to the land of promise if they went straight there? 11, maybe 13 days. Turned into 40 years of wandering. Have any of you ever been lost before? No men are going to really, okay. I'm not lost. The GPS is just telling me the wrong thing. Ever argue with the GPS? Do you ever take the voice and change it to a guy's voice so you don't have a lady telling you what to do? You know, I don't want that, you know. And I hate in directions. I hate going the wrong way. I was on the phone one time, I was using the hands-free and everything, but I was on the phone, even with the truck and trailer, and I'm driving, and I'm trying to resolve this issue with technical support. If you want to, I'd rather have a root canal. And so here I am, trying to resolve this thing, and they're checking on this, talking to this person, oh, I need to change this, and whatever. And I got so bum-fuzzled that I got on the interstate going the wrong way. Here I am going 70, 65 miles an hour the wrong way. And I realized that, oh man, the next exit is like, I don't know, 6-7 miles. But it went like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 miles out of the way that way. Then I had to go 10, 11, 12 miles to go back this way just to get to the very point that I was at before. I thought, all of that time and distance and fuel wasted. I hate wandering lost. For 40 years, they were just there. You know, if they would enter land of Canaan, land of rest, and they'd have those grapes, that milk and honey, you know, God's provision for their cattle, God's provision in the sweet things of life, the blessings. You know what revival, you know, a lot of people think, well, revival's negative. Well, it's because we have to deal with self and sin to get there. But revival's not negative. Does God want the best for you? Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily a millionaire here on this planet. That's what we think best for me is. No. Probably not is going to be the best. The best for you is spiritually what is best for you. The joy, the peace, the victory, the souls being saved, the prayers being answered. They missed so many blessings themselves. Are you experiencing the victorious Christian life? Or are you hindering God and also hindering yourself from God's best for you? Not only did they hinder God, they hindered themselves, but they hindered others. Think of the children, the ones under 40, maybe the ones under 20. They're walking around, they see the father, and he grabs his son's hand and says, oh, son, we need to go. We need to start walking again. Why are we walking again? Well, the cloud's moving. We need to go. We need to get up our tent. Okay, come on. Where are we going, Daddy? Well, we're just wandering around the wilderness. Why is it that we're wandering around the wilderness? It's because your daddy didn't believe God. We didn't trust him. And this child grew up not knowing the victories that God intended for them and missing so much. I think of Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus has to rebuke the devil out of the boy. Because the father, when he came to the disciples, he said, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed from him. And then the disciples came to him afterwards and said, why could we not cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. That boy was not saved until Jesus himself intervened because his disciples weren't believing. I wonder how many boys are out there, how many girls are out there, how many adults are out there that aren't getting saved because we are not simply believing God. Trust God. We're going to continue with this thought in the evening service. But would you trust God for the revival that he wants to? If we do not, we will hinder God. We'll hinder ourselves for being in the land of promise, that great place of blessings. But also, we'll hinder others from trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Why don't we tell God, God, we will believe you. And Lord, we don't want to have our unbelief stop you from what you want to do in our lives. Let's tell him right now. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand more of what faith affects in the matter of revival. God, convict us of our unbelief. Show us and reveal that to us today. And Lord, help us as we continue this thought in the evening service. Lord, I pray you help us to take us to the next level, what you want and what you're intending for us. Lord, we're trusting you. Now, Lord, we do believe you. And Lord, help us help our unbelief. Lord, help us to believe you more. Lord, I pray this next service that the gospel would be presented in power and demonstration of your spirit. Save souls and help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.